Please open your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And the title of today's sermon is Power of Resurrection. Can we say that together? Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read verse 9-11. Romans chapter 8, verse 9-11. Can we have a volunteer? New King James or New Living? Romans 8, 9-11.
But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
Amen. Hallelujah. The resurrection is good news. Amen. What is resurrection? It's good news. It's good news. Hallelujah. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, the disciples were sorrowful. They were intimidated. They went to hide. They were in hiding. Yeah? But when Jesus rose, yeah? Their sorrow was turned to what? Joy. Hallelujah. Why? Because resurrection is good news. Let's start from this. He said, if you are in Christ, then the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So if you are born again, that's the difference. You know, that one of my sisters was asking me a question yesterday. Is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? The reason, you know, if you read the Bible, Jesus said that John the Baptist, yeah, was the greatest of everybody ever born of a woman up to that time. But that he that is least, he that is smallest in the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. That's, I think, Matthew 8:11. Or is it Matthew 11:11? Is greater. Why? Because if you are born again, you are in Christ. Hallelujah. You are what? In Christ. The person in the Old Testament, including the Jewish religion before the New Testament, they were not in Christ. They were on credit card. Are you with me? It was credit. All the sacrifices they were making is looking towards Christ. Yeah? Is anticipating the perfect sacrifice, which is Christ. The blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews, the blood of animals that they were sacrificing, Bible says it can never take away sins. Yeah? All it did was to cover their sin. Yeah? The blood of animals, yeah, they sacrificed in the temple, was able to cover their sin. Hallelujah. That's why one of the songs we sing in church, you know, I'm always bold to change lines in church, in songs that don't agree with the word. So that song is a good song. He said, I know it's rescued my soul, and his blood has what? Covered my sins. He said, no, I can't. That was Old Testament. Amen. My sins are not just covered. My sins are what? Are washed away. His blood has cleansed. Hallelujah. It has cleansed. That's not just covered. It has what? It has cleansed all my sins. Because I'm in New Testament. Hallelujah. I'm in New Testament. So when you're in the New Testament, yeah, and you believe in Jesus, you've embraced Jesus, you have become a child of God. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God has come to live inside you. Can I encourage you again? No texting, no messaging, no social media. All you want to do is your Bible app and your note app. And once in a while, you can search on Google. In honor of the Lord, during this sermon, is just to maximize your attention. Amen? Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. That is a blessing. The reason why you can live victoriously, one of the reasons why you can live victoriously, yeah, in this time, over sin, over Satan, over darkness, over sickness, over oppression, over affliction, over whatever evil there is because the Holy Spirit, if you are born again, unless you are not born again, but if you are born again, the Holy Spirit has come to live where? Inside of you. Bible says that if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Hallelujah. So if you're in Christ, necessarily speaking, you couldn't be in Christ until the Holy Spirit has come in. So you know what you need to do now? Say when you say the Holy Spirit. Say because I am in Christ. Because I have accepted Christ Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. The Holy Spirit lives inside me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that if the Spirit lives inside you, or maybe another way of saying this, if you know. See, if you're in Christ, the Spirit lives inside you, but you need to know it. If you know, let's read again, Romans 8, before I move on. Romans chapter 8. Verse 11. Yes, let's have it again. Romans 8:11. Where's the mic? Romans 8:11.
But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you.
Okay, just stay there. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now remember, he has already told you, if you are in Christ, the Spirit lives in you. But now he's still saying if. Why do you have a if there? It's up to you if you know. Yeah? If you know. If you are aware. If you are conscious of it. You are engaging with that truth. That the Spirit of God lives in you. Because the Spirit of God can be living in you and you are not engaging. Yeah? You are not acknowledging. You are not staying in the awareness of it. You are treating him as though he was not there. Hallelujah. You know, some can be living in your house and you treat them as though they were not in your house. Just lock them up in your guest room, or in your attic, or in your basement. Yeah? You're passing food to them from under the door. You don't want to treat the Holy Spirit like that. You need to know, you need to stay conscious of it. Come, and the best way to stay conscious of it is to confess it. Hallelujah? If you know, if you are aware that this Holy Spirit lives in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, we do what? We give life. Hallelujah? To what? To what? To your mortal body. It's right now. We're talking about future. When you need the strength is now. When you are resurrected, you don't need the strength. You are perfected already. Yeah? You need strength in the face of weakness. Amen? You need strength in the face of temptation, isn't it? You need strength in the face of sin. You need strength in the face of sickness and disease. It's now you need the life. Yeah? Why? Because the body is mortal. When I told you that, when you say something is mortal, the way I like to define it is that it is weak. It's death doom. It can break. Yeah? That's why you need life. That's why you need the strength. That's why you need the quickening. That's why you need the resurrection power. And the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, yeah, can quicken you. Hallelujah. He can do what? He can give you strength. Say, I'm struggling. Don't say it. I didn't mean to that you say it. I say, you say in your mind that I'm struggling. I don't have strength. But what do you have? You have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He can give you strength. Hallelujah. He can quicken you. That's what he's there for. Hallelujah. So you say, Holy Spirit, give me strength. But before you say that, you know the first thing you need to say? You say, Holy Spirit, thank you, because you are living in me. Say it a billion times until it registers in your spirit. Hallelujah. Say it a billion times until it registers in your spirit. You know, last week I was talking about the fact that I was trying to remind you that I'm the one that killed Jesus. It's me. Because until you take ownership of it, it doesn't become a reality for you. When the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Yeah? Why did Jesus go to the cross? It was for me. It was for my sins. It's me and you that killed Jesus. Let it be personal, because when it's personal, that's when you can die with him. Hallelujah. When I realize I'm the one that killed, Jesus died for me, like, don't think general, think personal. Yeah? I killed Jesus, so now I will live for him. Amen? Make it personal. The same way, understand that the Holy Spirit is in you. You have to say it. So say, where is the Holy Spirit? Someone say, it's on earth. That's a good answer, but it's not good enough. Hallelujah. Where is the Holy Spirit? He's in me. What is he there for? What's he there for? To strengthen me. To strengthen me. Why do I need strength? Because I'm living in a mortal body. A mortal body can be tempted. A mortal body can fall sick. A mortal body can be broken or wounded or hurt. That's why I need strength. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, yeah, lives in me. And it gives what? Strength. King James, the old King James will say, it will quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's continue the story from last week. You see, we cannot stay just at the death of Christ. Because that's not the end of the story. Amen? We must move from the death of Christ to the resurrection. We cannot stay just at the passion of the Christ. We must move from the passion to what? The resurrection. The purpose of the passion or the suffering, because the passion, another word for passion, that he suffered and died. The purpose of this passion and suffering is for the victory. He didn't suffer in vain. He didn't die in vain. So, yes, we've looked at the passion of the Christ. Now, let's move to the resurrection of the Christ. We have to live in the resurrection of the Christ. Hallelujah. That is the life. That is the victorious life. Hallelujah. Jesus did not remain in the grave. They put him in the grave. They actually covered the grave with a big stone. And then they got soldiers. They got soldiers to guard it. You know, like the Jewish Jesus came to Pilate and said, you know, this man, that means, when I read it in the Bible, I was like, oh, so they were listening. Because when they were accusing him, they said they accused him for being the Son of God, isn't it? Or for claiming to be the Son of God and claiming to destroy the temple. I mean, claiming that he would destroy the temple and raise it in 3 days. And they seemed to understand that he was talking about the temple. But the moment he died, their understanding switched. So it shows that they were just religious hypocrites. Because now they go to Paul and say, this man said he will rise again after 3 days. So they understood that part. The need was not just about the temple, yeah? You see how? You see, when there's a rebellious heart, you will never understand truth. Yeah? Because when truth comes to you, you always interpret it the way you like. So they go to Bible and say, this man said he will rise after 3 days. So they got that part. So he said, you know, so give us soldiers so that we can make sure that his disciples don't come to steal him. So basically they are saying that he won't rise, but we want to make sure that he's not stolen. You know what Pilate did? There was a sort of sarcasm there. Pilate said, well, you have the soldiers. Make it as sure as you can. He was like, he himself is thinking, this man is different. Yeah? So I very much like to see what you can do. So they gathered it. And what do you think the Lord was doing? What do you think God was doing? God was just smiling. That had to be part of the story. So that it's very difficult now for someone to say, you know, it's a fabrication. The very governor of the state sent his high-level security guards to guard the tomb of Jesus so that nobody can steal his body. That's scientific evidence. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. The scientific evidence of the resurrection includes the fact that the grave was guarded by high security soldiers. Hallelujah. But you see, even with the soldiers there, yeah, Jesus resurrected and left the grave. He didn't even need the stone to be moved. Amen? Because in his resurrected state, he can pass through walls. Amen? He can appear and what? Disappear. So while they were still guarding, he's already what? Checked out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God sent his angel to open the grave. Yeah? The only reason why that has to be done is so that the disciples can access it.
So, was Jesus the first glorified body?
Absolutely. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Hallelujah. He's the one that went in. He's the firstborn. When you read the Bible, a part of the Bible says he's the firstborn from the dead. Yeah? He's talking about a glorified body. Yeah? You know, before Jesus died, there were people who died and were raised back to life, like Lazarus and the widow's son, but they still died again. Hallelujah. But Jesus is the first. He's the first fruit from the dead. Yeah? A glorified body. Never to die again. Hallelujah. That body is not mortal anymore. Never ever. Hallelujah. And we will join him. We will join him in that. Yeah? It's just that the timing is future. But for now, the power of resurrection means that we can have strength in this body to live above spiritual darkness. Hallelujah. Spiritual darkness is something you continue to face all through your life. But you can have victory. Hallelujah. You can have what? Victory. There's no guarantee that you will not be tempted. But you can be victorious over temptation. There's no guarantee, you know, that you may not face struggles. But you can have strength to overcome them. You can look and say, you know what? I used to struggle with that. But not anymore. Hallelujah. Not what? Anymore. Why? Because the grace of God, the power of God is now working in that area and you have received strength. Hallelujah.
I just have a question. How about Enoch and Elijah that were taken to heaven?
It's a good question. Don't know whether I should answer it now or later because of time. Amen. The one answer is simple. Elijah is not resurrected. He's just taken to heaven in his human body. He's not even translated. Elijah just climbed up in chariots of fire. His body is preserved. Just like you could preserve a body in the freezer. It's in the heavenly freezer. And he's coming back as one of the two witnesses. So when Elijah shows up again, he's going to look like the old man he was when he left. In the same similar body, he just preserved. The same thing with Moses. You know, the Bible says Moses died, but the Bible says no, it was God that buried him. So meaning that nobody saw his body. Yeah? And the Bible says that Satan was actually contending for the body of Moses. It's in the book of Jude. So again, Moses' body is preserved, like in the heavenly freezer. And he will come back again as the second of the two witnesses. But Enoch is a different case. Because Enoch is a foretaste of the rapture. If you read the book of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated. That is not just being going to heaven chariot. It was changed. So yes, there is some element of change there. Enoch is no longer in his previous human body. Because Hebrews 11 tells us that it was translated. So translation is a change of form. So, and if you would take it, I believe that Enoch, is the angel Gabriel. I personally believe that, because I believe that when you are resurrected, Bible says that in the resurrection, we will be like what? Angels. So now it's not marrying, nor giving marriage, but we only consider on that part, not marrying. No, the first statement is that in the resurrection, we will be like what? Angels. Hallelujah. So a resurrected believer is like, I'm what? An angel. You have the same capability. You can zoom. You can appear. You can disappear in the resurrected body. Hallelujah. And Enoch was translated. So if Enoch was translated, he is in the presence of God. And you have an angel who says, I stand in the presence of God. And you see, in the book of Daniel, every time Daniel sees Gabriel, he calls him the man. Anyways, let's leave that. You don't have to swallow. Don't swallow that. That's just me. So I assume that it's me talking there. Okay, let's go back to what we're saying. Yeah, don't take that as gospel. Yeah, you can differ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, you can differ. But let's move on. Hallelujah. Say with me, say, I have the power of resurrection living in me. Now let me tell you, what's that power? It's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon believers. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes to what? Dwell inside. And I want to be conscious of it. We are under utilizing the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And the reason is because we are not aware, or we're not engaging with that awareness as much as we should. And we are losing out because of that. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. We come back to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to Romans 10. Let's show you that point again. Romans chapter 10. I want to preach this well, because I don't think I've preached this well enough. Romans 10, verse 1 to 10. No, let's not make it verse 1 to 10. Let's say Romans 10, 4 to 10. Let's go to Brother Toby. I know this will be one of his favorite Bible passages. Romans 10, 4 to 10. Please listen. Tell us which version. And then please listen. As if we can just do New King James, if you don't mind. And please listen. And I'll try to explain this to the best of my ability. Romans 10, 4 to 10. Listen.
Sorry, still switching to New King James.
Sorry. Romans 10, 4 to 10. New King James version. Please follow it.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes.
Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Let me explain that. And this actually, you know, one of the things in reviewing this today is that Romans 10 is talking about Israel. Yeah, that's where it starts. That's the context. But it applies to us all. Yeah? Before Christ came, we are the Old Testament. Yeah? The Old Testament is full of the law of Moses and all the ceremonies and rites that have to be performed. Are you with me? We are all preparing us for Christ. Hallelujah. It's preparatory. It's not the real deal. Yeah? It was the preparation. Hallelujah. Before electricity came, what were you using for heating your home?
Hot coals.
What? What were you?
Hot coals.
Hot coals. Coals of fire. That's Old Testament. Amen? It's preparing you. It's still of God. It's God that put it in place, but it's preparatory. Hallelujah. It's preparatory. But when Christ came, Christ is the fulfillment. Christ is the fulfillment of all the rites and ceremonies of the Jewish religion. If they were sacrificing animals, Christ became what? The sacrifice. The perfect one. The blood of animals can never take away sin. It can cover it. But Christ, who to the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. Hallelujah. His blood cleanses your sin. And not just that. His blood purges your conscience. Hallelujah. Your conscience can be clean now. Hallelujah. It's through the blood, just you can restore back to personal relationship with God. Hallelujah. It's not just a matter of God is up there and you are a servant down here. That was Old Testament. But in New Testament, God is my Father. Say with me. If you are born again, say with me. Say, God is my Father. That's so empowering. I'm sharing with you what has liberated me. God is my Father. When I work for God, I'm doing my Father's business. I don't know about any other person, but that's me. That's my Father's business. Hallelujah. He's my Father. And by the way, that means I'm his son. Hallelujah. Amen. That means that he's committed to me. Because I'm his son. And he's my Father. You see, that's an identity shift. You have to understand your identity. My identity in Christ means that I am in relationship with God. Hallelujah. And it's all possible because of Christ. Christ is the end of the law. Hallelujah. Righteousness. The righteousness you have with God is by faith in Christ. He is your bridge. It's your entry point. It's Christ. You are trusting in Christ. Hallelujah. You are eating Christ. You are drinking Christ. Hallelujah. You are oozing out what? Christ. Hallelujah. You are oozing it out because you are eating him and you are drinking him. Please continue, sir. Romans chapter 10.
For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.
Okay, can I just stop there? Let me just try to explain. Remind me of this hymn. You know this hymn says, Rock of Ages. You know Rock of Ages? He said, could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must say, and thou alone. Even if you find a way to ascend into heaven, to pay for your sin, or to descend into hell, to pay for your sin, or to hide under the carpet and scrub your skin, you know, with bleach. You can't atone. Hallelujah. You can't atone. Hallelujah. You know what you can do? Yeah? You can trust in Christ and let him forgive you and wash you clean. Hallelujah. You can never be more righteous than the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You come trusting in Him. Hallelujah. You come what? Trusting in Him. Hallelujah. Is your identity. Someone say, you know what? You know, I have a low self-esteem. Yeah? You know what you need? You need to embrace the identity of Christ. You don't need to impress Christ with your esteem. Just take on His esteem. Hallelujah. Let Christ be your esteem. Because you are already accepted in Him. Hallelujah. Jesus is not accepting you because you look handsome or beautiful. Because you use makeup or not. Hallelujah. Amen. He loved you. Yeah, even in your worst state. Hallelujah. Bible says, Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, God commends His love towards us. Even that while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Hallelujah. So if someone has already loved you in your worst state, yeah? He has accepted you. Hallelujah. You just need to embrace Him. You embrace Him. Hallelujah. You what? You embrace Him. He has given Himself for you. Embrace Him. Let Him dominate you totally. Hallelujah. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. Hallelujah. When you embrace Christ, you have embraced righteousness. Hallelujah. You put Him on. You have to put Him on. Let Him be your identity. That's how the power of God will work in your life. Hallelujah. The more you give Christ room to operate in you, the more His power will work in your life. Hallelujah. The more you are trying to do it on your own without Him, the more you will struggle. See, if I'm trying to do it on my own to please Him, you have to understand let me explain to you what you have understood a long time ago now. If you are going to please God, you need God's power. Let's say it another way. You cannot do God's will without God's grace. You cannot meet God's standards without His help. You can't do it in your own power. Hallelujah. That's why to enter God's righteousness, you need God's Son, Christ. It's in Him. He is the one that will carry you through. Hallelujah. He's the one that will empower you. He's the one that will strengthen you. He is the one that will inspire you. Hallelujah. And you can't even do it anyway without forgiveness. Amen. All through your journey. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless the holy name. Why? Number one thing. Well, who forgives what? All your sins. I said, no, you can't make heaven without the forgiveness of your sins. Now, that doesn't mean you believe in sin. But you need to understand that the whole package is in Christ. Your job is to follow Him. Embrace Him. Yeah, trust in Him. Yield to Him. Yeah? Keep Him in focus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. If Christ is in focus, and I continue to walk with Him, and walk in Him, and trust in Him, and yield to Him, yeah, and lean upon Him, and depend on Him, I will make it through. He is the narrow way. Jesus Himself is what? The narrow way. I just need to stay in Him. Hallelujah. And if I miss it, get back on track. The real missing it, yeah, is to stop following, stop walking with Him, stop trusting. When you stop trusting, when you stop yielding, when you stop following, when you stop submitting, when you stop keeping Jesus in the focus, if something else takes the focus of Christ, that's the real missing it. Hallelujah. If something else in your life takes the place of Christ, then you missed it. To be truly lost is to be out of Christ. When you're outside Christ, you are lost. Hallelujah. But if you're in Christ, the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, is what? It's a new creation. But the point I want you to understand is that they are a new creation because they are in Christ. Stay in Christ. We talk to your neighbor. Some of them will be dozing off. So they say, stay in Christ. Hallelujah. In Christ. Stay in Him. Stay in Him. Stay in Christ. Stay in Christ. Please come finish reading. We are in verse 8, second Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10.
But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen. Continue.
For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Hallelujah. What do you notice from Romans 10, 8 to 10? What do you notice? Let me ask some questions. What do you notice from Romans 10, 8 to 10? What are the keys of the power of resurrection? How does it work? How does the power of resurrection work? Romans 10, 8 to 10. The keys are there. Romans 10, 8 to 10. Of how the power of resurrection, or the power of experiencing resurrection power, will work in your life. Yes?
We need to believe and confess.
You need to believe. Now, what do you need to believe? Because we know we need to believe, but we also need to specify what do we need to believe. Yes, someone else. Romans 10, 8 to 10. What do we need to believe? If you want resurrection power, what do you need to believe?
We need to believe in Jesus.
You need to believe in Jesus. What do you need to, we're just going to take it for that.
Yeah, believe in Jesus and follow his ways.
Yes, thank you, sir. You're in the right track. What do you need to believe in Jesus, or believe about Jesus?
He's raised from the dead.
You need to believe. Yeah? In what? Thank you. You need to believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is the singular event that changed all history. Anybody who doesn't believe that, they are lost. There's no salvation in any other name. Hallelujah. Because only one died for all. Hallelujah. Only one died for all. Hallelujah. Only one, yeah, was sinless, spotless, yeah, and he died. Only one came from heaven. Jesus said, no man came from heaven except the Son. And only one can take you that on the way. You need to believe in the death and in the resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. Is that all? What more do you need to do? Romans 10, 8 to 10. You need to believe. What more?
Just want to add, like what you have said. It's the only one that came to die for us. And it's the only one who, through him, we can get to heaven.
Hallelujah.
And he's the only one who said, he is the way, the truth, and the life.
He is the way. I say, you know, if you want resurrection power, yeah? Eat Jesus. Drink Jesus. Embrace him until he's oozing out of you. Hallelujah. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's what? He's the life. You know what that life means? That life is resurrection power. Hallelujah. That life is victorious power. Hallelujah. Bible says, whosoever believes in him will not what? Perish. I believe we are still keeping our contracts. Whosoever believes in him will not perish. But have what? Everlasting life. But what else do you need to do apart from believing? You need to what?
To confess.
You need to confess. They are side by side. Romans 10, it says the word is near you. Where is the word? Where is the word? Near you. See, I want power of resurrection. Yeah? And you know that Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same was with God. Who is the word? Who is the word? Who is the word?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. And the Bible now says that the word is near you. So can I say, Jesus is where? He's near you. Where is he? Go back to Romans 10 8. Where is the word? Let me go to those young ladies there. Romans 10 8. The answer is there. Where is the word? Read, either read it or give me the answer. If you don't know the answer, just read it. Romans 10 8.
But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.
It is where the word is going to stay. The word that will give you power has got to reside in your heart and where? And in your mouth. It's got to. It's, can I say, it's 50-50. ish. Amen? If that word is in your heart and it's not in your mouth, you will not experience the fullness of resurrection power. It's there in the Bible. Read it. Romans 10:8-10. The word is near you. Even where? In your heart. And where? In your mouth. Now, let's prove it. Verse 9. Read verse 9.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe...
What do you confess with? Your mouth. You are to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm explaining this. This is not just 15 years ago when you got born again. It's all through your life. You must continue to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. It's present continuous. Hallelujah. It's like someone said, you know, I ate a very nice meal at a party 15 years ago. I so much enjoyed it. It was the best party of my life. All types of food were there. All types of drink. And I will never need to eat again. Amen? Yes, you had a nice meal. But you need to continue what? To stay alive. What do you need? You quickly realize that if you want to stay alive, you need to continue what? Eating. Hallelujah. You are to confess your mother, Lord Jesus. Continuously. Yes, continue please.
And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved.
Hallelujah. You confess what you believe. Hallelujah. You confess Jesus. You believe Jesus. Hallelujah. You confess the Holy Spirit. You believe the Holy Spirit. You confess the power of resurrection. You believe the power of resurrection. Verse 10.
For with the heart, one believes.
With your heart. Someone say my heart. That's talking about your spirit. Or your innermost being. It's talking about your conviction. Yeah? It's talking about your deepest conviction. With the heart, you believe. Yeah? Continue.
Unto righteousness.
Unto righteousness. When you believe Christ, when you've embraced Christ, when you've put him in the deepest part of your heart, and you're building your life on him. Yeah? That's righteousness. Because I want to explain righteousness. Righteousness flows from Jesus. Hallelujah. If I want righteousness, I need to let Jesus take his place. Hallelujah. Seated and settled. Hallelujah. I'm not going to betray him. Remember Judas? What did he do? He betrayed. But you're not going to betray him. He's in your heart. He's in the deepest place. You are living for him. He's the reason for your living. Hallelujah. When you miss it. See, when Jesus is in your heart, he's the reason. When you miss it, you repent quickly. Hallelujah. You don't keep messing with what Jesus does not like. Hallelujah. The reason is that it's in your heart. Hallelujah. It's in the deepest part. So when you miss it, you repent. Hallelujah. And you ask for help. Hallelujah. You ask for what? Help. And wherever help is that Jesus can provide, you receive help because you want to be true to Jesus in your heart. Hallelujah. Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is one spirit. Hallelujah. So marriage is powerful, but there's something more powerful than marriage, which is your relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, if you are married, Bible says you are one flesh. You are not one spirit. But if you are joined to the Lord, Bible doesn't say you are one flesh. You are what? One spirit. Hallelujah. Please finish the last line and we'll round up there.
And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
You see that? So I must say what I believe. For example, let me tell you something I believe. Rise up. Let's rise up and begin to make this confession. Today we're going to confess. The reason why you're not seeing more power in your life is because your belief system is weak and your confession is poor. Some people, all they are confessing is money, money, money. And I don't hate money. Yeah, you know, if you have excess money, send me some. I will use it well. Amen. But it's an error to confess only money. You see, when you confess money, you have missed it. You think that's your only need. No. Your needs are even greater. Many of your needs are greater than money. What about the needs of your soul? Hallelujah. What about righteousness? What about peace? What about joy? Yeah? What about being guilt-free? What about purity? Yeah? These are needs of your life. Hallelujah. So, for example, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that he who knew no sin, he made him to be sin for me, so that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:21. I believe that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for me, for you, so that you can become the righteousness of God in Christ? We read it in the Bible. Do you believe that? Do you have to confess it? So I have to say, you know what? Jesus Christ has become sin for me. Can we say that together? Say, Jesus Christ has become sin for me. Therefore, sin shall have no dominion over me. It's simple logic, simple mathematics. Hallelujah. Let's do that again. Say, Jesus Christ has become sin for me, so that I can become the righteousness of God in Christ. So we say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. That's so empowering. If you can stay there and drink it until the hose is out, the next time sin shows up, you will see that you have power. I said, if you eat that, just eat it until it's overflowing. When temptation comes next, you will see that you have power. And I'm telling you what I have seen. Stay there long enough until the power has risen. The power rising is the faith in you. Yeah? It's the faith. You walk the faith to believing and confessing until it becomes your reality. Hallelujah. Let's do another one. Say, Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for my transgressions. And he was what? Bruised for my iniquities. The punishment for my peace and what? And well-being has been laid on Jesus. And with the stripes that wounded him, I am what? I'm healed and made whole. Hallelujah. So, you know, when the devil shows up in your life with guilt for something you have repented of, something you have asked God to forgive you for, what are you going to return? What are you going to reply him? You say, Jesus has paid. Jesus was wounded for my transgression. And by his stripes, I am what? I am healed. So, Satan, listen. Jesus has paid the price. That's confession. Hallelujah. That's confession. You stay there until the power flows. Hallelujah. Say, I refuse to be dominated by sin, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid for it. Say, I refuse to be dominated by sickness and disease. Whatever type. You don't need to set any limit. And it doesn't matter what the doctor has said. There's no limit on your faith. You are the only one who will limit what you want to believe. Hallelujah. The problem may be difficult, but Jesus is Lord. Hello? I said the problem may be difficult. I mean medically. But Jesus is what? Lord. I choose to believe Jesus. I'm going to work it out. I don't know, but I trust him. I believe him. Hallelujah. Say, I refuse to be dominated by any sickness or any disease. Say, Jesus has paid the price for my peace and well-being. And by the stripes that wounded Jesus, I am healed. As you are saying that, think about that particular sickness of Jesus that is troubling you, worrying you. Maybe there's something worrying you right now. Yeah? Say, by the stripes that wounded Jesus, I am healed and made whole. Hallelujah. Because of time, I will stop there. I could have gone another 5-10 minutes, take you through different dimensions of all what Jesus has done in the Bible and how we can believe and confess it until the power flows. We have to stay there. Hallelujah. We have to stay there in the power of resurrection. It's the righteousness by faith. And faith works through believing and confessing the word until it releases power in our lives. Hallelujah.